Good morning. Well, this morning we will be finishing our series in Why Pray. And as we do that, my question that I have for us to wrestle with this morning is, does prayer make any difference? I mean, why pray if prayer doesn't make any difference? So that's what we'll wrestle with this morning. Why pray? Does prayer actually make a difference? And chances are, at some point in your life, whether you would say that you followed Jesus for a long time or you don't follow Jesus, you've wondered that. You've wondered about prayer and if it makes a difference or not. And depending on your experience, you may have different views on whether you think it makes a difference or not. And so how I want to start out this morning is I just want to tell you a few stories as we enter into this conversation of does prayer make a difference. And the first one is from about 4 years ago. And I was in Kenya, and I was leading a short-term trip there from our church. And we had a team with us. And one of the things we got asked to do is we got asked to go to this other children's home. And it was run by some Catholic nuns. And so we went, and we had a great time just fellowshipping with them, playing with the kids, giving the kids some gifts and stuff like that. But at the end of it, one of the Catholic nuns, she asked me, she said, "Pastor, would you pray? We have this girl who has tuberculosis. Would you just come and pray for her and pray that she would be healed?" And so I said, "Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that." So I came into the room where she was, and I prayed, and I prayed with all my heart, and I really truly believed that God was going to do something miraculous, that God, in that moment, was going to heal that girl. But the thing is, a few days later, I found out that girl died. And in that moment, I was left to wrestle with, well, if I prayed and I really meant it with all my heart and I had faith that she could be healed and she died, then does prayer really make a difference? I mean, what's the point if at the end of all this she died anyway? And after that, I entered into a period where Amanda and I went through our adoption, and every month we would pray and we would pray and we'd pray, and yet the adoption still failed. And I remember after it failed, wrestling with that whole thing about around prayer then. But we prayed, and God, like, surely adopting an orphan child should be something that's your heart. Like, why did this not work out? Like, we prayed, but it didn't really seem to make a difference. And if you've had similar experiences like this in your life, you may wonder, does prayer make any difference? But there's also the flip side of that, isn't there? There's also the flip side of that. I know people on the west coast of Vancouver Island, and they run a detox center, but they do detox a little bit different when it comes to addictions. They don't just invite the person that's in addiction. They actually bring their whole family to live there and to go through the detox together as a family. And one time, they were really full. They had all these families there going through the detox process. But there was another family that they just really felt God was laying on their heart that needed to come and go through this detox there. And they're like, "Well, what are we going to do? All the houses that we have are full." And so they decided, "We'll just pray. We'll just pray that somehow God is going to provide the housing we need so that we can bring this family and they can do detox." So they're praying, and within a few days, something completely unexpected happens. They get up that morning, and they go out, and lo and behold, on the beach, a house has floated up onto the beach. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. A house has floated up onto the beach, and probably not the way they envisioned that going. They probably thought, you know, we'll pray, maybe someone will give a big donation, we'll build a house. Nope, floats right up on the beach. And so they investigated the house, and they found out that it belonged to a logging company that had some float houses in the area that they used for their fly-in logging camp. And so they called up the logging company, and the logging company said, "You know what, you can keep it, that's fine." So if you're these people, you think, if you ask them, does prayer make any difference? They're like, "Well, duh." For them, it's obvious, right? For them, they'd say, yeah, absolutely. Prayer makes a difference because houses don't float up on our beach every day. Especially after we've just prayed for that. And so there's this tension, isn't there? There's this tension of does prayer make any difference or doesn't it make any difference? And I think when we examine this question of whether prayer makes any difference, it depends really on an underlying question, because there's an underlying question that we don't always verbalize, but we think. And the underlying question is, really, if I pray, will I get what I want? Will I get what I ask for? If I pray, will I get the favorable response I desire? Sometimes, unfortunately, sometimes we're praying with honest sincerity, but sometimes if we're honest, if we're really honest, if we have a moment of honesty, we know that's what we're really asking when we ask, does prayer make any difference? And sometimes we're guilty of taking this all-powerful God and making him little more than what we can call vending machine God. The prayers go in, the good stuff comes out. The prayers go in, the good stuff comes out. That's a little bit sarcastic, but sometimes that's a little bit how we act. Or Andy Stanley refers to it as on-demand God, right? We live in an on-demand society where we don't just want stuff, but we want it now. If something doesn't happen instantaneously now when I'm on the internet, I'm like, why is this thing taking so long? Little do some of you who are under the age of 20 know that one time I had to live with dial-up internet, you know? Be like, and you'd go, and you'd make a snack, you come back, you're like, oh, the page I found finally loaded. I'll open my email, and you'd go do something else and come back. That's how it was. But now we have this on-demand society that says, I want it, and I want it now. Why is this taking so long? Why am I not getting what I want? And so sometimes we treat God a little bit like that. We have on-demand God. Give me what I want and give it to me now. But some of us, we've wrestled deeply in prayer, sometimes even for months or years about something, and it's something painful. And if that's you this morning, I have some hope for you. Jesus, do you know this? Jesus actually had a prayer that went unanswered that led to suffering on his part. Do you know this? We don't often talk about this. Jesus had a prayer that God didn't answer the way he was praying for it to happen. Let's look at this. It's in Matthew 26, verse 38 to 46. And what has happened is Jesus has just had the Last Supper with his disciples. He's predicted that one of them will betray him. He's predicted his own death. And now he's gotten some of his closest disciples. He said, let's go pray together. Let's go pray together. So they're like, okay. So a few of them go and they're about to pray in this garden. And that's where we pick up the story here. It says this. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. The cup he is referring to is his death on the cross. It's like he's saying, God, if there's any other way that we can accomplish your will that doesn't involve me going and dying on that cross, I'd go for that. But he says, yeah, not as I will, but as you will. And then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. I mean, you got to love this, right? You ask your best friends to come and pray for you because you know you're about to go through something terrible. And you're like, okay, so just pray with me, guys. And you go back and you're like, oh, good, they're having a nap. Fabulous. I mean, that would be heartbreaking. He says, couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time. A second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping. I mean, come on, guys. Because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed a third time, saying the same thing. And then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hand of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Jesus prayed three times. Three times for this. And yet, his prayer wasn't answered. In fact, he did have to drink that cup. He did have to suffer. But here's the thing. As we sit on the other side of history and we look back, Jesus, that prayer not being answered, I thank God it wasn't. Because if it wasn't, he wouldn't have gone and died on the cross and rose again, defeating death, allowing us to enter into an eternal relationship with God. If it wasn't for that unanswered prayer, none of us would have any hope. And so it's interesting because sometimes we desire God to operate in a certain way. But sometimes, oftentimes, there's a bigger picture at play. And so I want to say to you this morning, if you have painfully prayed to God for something, for the relief of suffering, or that you wouldn't have to go through suffering, or someone you love wouldn't go through suffering, and you didn't have your prayer answered the way you thought it should be answered, I want to say to you this morning, Jesus gets you. Jesus gets you. Jesus knows what it is to have an unanswered prayer and to have to suffer because that prayer was unanswered. He understands what that's like. He gets that. And so I want to encourage you, we can press in to praying in Jesus' name because he understands that. He understands what it is to have prayers unanswered. He understands what it is to have to suffer as a result. And I don't understand, to this day, I don't understand why that girl I prayed for wasn't healed. I don't always understand why the adoption didn't work out. But what I've become to realize is something that I see here in Jesus. See, Jesus realized that prayer was about more than asking God for what we want. He says repeatedly, "Not my will, but yours be done." See, I'm becoming more and more convinced that prayer is not about bending God to our will. It's about us coming into alignment with the will of God. It's not so much about us bending God's will to ours. It's about us coming in line with the will of God. That's the real purpose behind prayer. Because if you're going to ask the question, does prayer make any difference? Then it really depends on what you believe the purpose of prayer is. It really depends on what you believe the purpose of prayer is. I believe that prayer does make a difference, despite the fact that I haven't always had things go the way I would have liked them. I believe prayer does have a purpose. In fact, I believe it has many purposes, and I want to explore a few with you quickly this morning. One is I believe prayer makes a difference when it comes to our relationship with God. I mean, how else do you further a relationship with someone than by being in conversation with them? I wouldn't have a very deep relationship with my wife if I never talked to her. It probably wouldn't go well. And so part of it is that prayer increases our relationship with God. We see in Mark 9:24, there's this desperate father who's crying out, asking, "Jesus, if you can do anything, would you please do something?" He wants healing for his son who's suffering. And Jesus says, "If I can," kind of like, "Do you know who I am here? come on. If I can, and I love the Father's response to this. He says, Lord, I believe, help me in my unbelief. See, prayer can help increase our faith. And Jesus goes on to heal the boy. And his disciples say, how come we couldn't do anything about this? How come we couldn't do anything about this? How come we couldn't cast out the spirit and bring healing to this boy? And Jesus says, well, that it only comes out with fasting and prayer. Jesus believed prayer made a difference. It connects us to God. Hebrews 4 talks about how we don't have to go. We don't have to go through priests anymore. We have this direct connection to God through prayer. It allows us to experience God. Acts 4 talks about how a bunch of Jesus followers were gathered together and they started to pray and the building was shaken. And then they went from that place and man, the gospel took off from there. Because they were so full of the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, we experience God as we pray. I believe it makes a difference in your life. We look at a life transformation like Paul. Paul went from persecuting the church and taking joy in seeing people suffer and even die for following Jesus to a man that said, I consider everything else garbage, rubbish, compared to knowing Jesus, and pressed into prayer. And we see a life transformation. He becomes one of the greatest missionaries that went and told people about Christ. And instead of persecuting people who follow Jesus, he's telling everyone should follow Jesus. I mean, that's a serious life transformation. Someone needs to pray for those lights. That works too. It also builds character. If we look in Galatians 5, it talks about how going from these behaviors that are negative and are damaging to being filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness as we are transformed by the Holy Spirit as we spend time in prayer with Him. It helps us in making choices. James 1:5 says, if we are without wisdom, we should ask God, and He will give it to us. And we'll be able to make the decisions we need to make. It has a huge impact beyond just our own life to the lives of others and the church and the community. It brings people to Jesus. I've set up here before a story of my former youth leader who for 20 years prayed for her mom and then saw her come to Christ. For healing, we've heard Mark, our former lead pastor, give testimony to how he was physically healed through prayer. It brings unity. Acts 4:2 says how all the believers were gathered together and they were of one mind because of prayer. And it gives direction and vision. We heard the testimony that Katie gave. We've been praying in this church for the last few months that God would give just opportunities for people to have gospel conversations, for people to have opportunities to speak about God. And Katie has just testified. And I want to tell you this morning that that is not an isolated story. The last few weeks, we've been hearing lots of stories, sometimes really crazy stories that you're like, what? God used that to start a conversation about the gospel? Okay. I mean, we've been hearing tons of stories like this. God has been moving and is faithful as we've pressed in to ask Him for opportunities as a church to share the gospel. And so I want to say, I think prayer makes a difference in so many different ways this morning. Jesus, actually, He talks about being persistent in prayer, and He tells a story about someone who is persistent in asking for what they want in a worldly way and gets it. And after that, He says this to His followers. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For whoever asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Listen to this. This really will show you the Father's heart when it comes to prayer. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? And if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? He's saying here that God loves to give us good gifts. Listen again, this is the same story in Luke, but it adds another element. It says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I mean, that's the ultimate gift. God's presence actually coming and living in us. To actually have the Spirit, the same Spirit that by the power of that Spirit, Jesus was raised from the dead, actually comes and lives in us. And Jesus says, ask for that. You can be fully empowered with the Spirit and all the gifts that he wants to give. God loves to give good gifts to us. It doesn't mean that every time we ask for something, we always get what we want. And I don't understand why sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. But just like parents, just like you wouldn't give everything your child asks you, God doesn't always give us everything we ask. At least I hope you don't give your kid everything they ask for. That could be disastrous, right? Sometimes they ask for things that aren't so good. So, I want to conclude by saying this. Prayer does make a difference. And so, the worship team is going to come, and the prayer team's going to come up to the front right now, because we're not just going to say, in theory, we think prayer makes a difference. That's too wussy. That's too weak. If we really believe this, if we really believe prayer can make a difference, then why not have opportunity to come and pray? And so as the team comes, if you this morning have something you want prayer for, maybe you want to ask God for healing this morning, be that physical healing, be that emotional healing, whatever kind of healing you might be looking for, and you want to ask God for that, come and pray. If you've never heard of who Jesus was and you didn't know that Jesus came and died on the cross and was willing to go through that suffering for you so that you could enter into a relationship with Jesus, and you say, I want to be connected to a God like that, come this morning and receive Jesus into your life. Come and pray with someone and they'll help you accept Christ into your life. If you say, I need more empowering by the Holy Spirit so I can be bold in sharing who he is, so I can be fully empowered by the Spirit, come. If you say, I need prayer to be courageous, come and pray for courage. Whatever it is that you know this morning, you sense the Spirit is saying, you need prayer for that. I just want to encourage you. The worship team is going to start singing a song. We're not going to have a whole bunch of fanfare. We're just going to have people up front to pray. And if you want to come up and pray with us, you're welcome to do that.